a chance to for me to meet some of you individually afterwards. My name is Hillary McQuaid. I'm the, what's my job title this week? The Campaign Director of Americans for Safe Access. And this is mostly going to be a legal briefing session by our staff attorney, Joe Elford. Alex is here from ASA San Francisco, if you want to talk to her about the about local organizing and their experience in San Francisco with the local ASA chapter. And this is my daughter, Ruby, who's going to be quietly playing over there in the corner, and you never know she's here. Ruby, how old are you, Ruby? 3 years old. I'm just going to spend a little while introducing you to ASA so you know who we are and what it is that we've been up to, and a little bit of the campaigns that we're working on currently and what we see on our horizon. Then I'm going to turn it over to Joe to do his presentation. And as he's talking, you feel free to raise your hand to ask clarifying questions, short ones about what he's talking about. But for longer questions and discussion, we'd like to wait until after he's done. And Andrea would also like to give a briefing on what's going on with the local guidelines process. So she'll do that after Joe's presentation. How many of you are on the ASA email list? Great, so a lot of you are familiar with our work. Yes, we started in 2002. Steph Scheer had just been made the director of Cannabis Action Network, which is in Berkeley. And right around the time that a lot of the federal raids were happening on dispensaries in the Bay Area, especially. And what she was concerned about is that there just wasn't enough outrage about it, and there wasn't enough press on it. There wasn't enough of an organized response on it. So she started this campaign, Americans for Safe Access, as a project coming out of Cannabis Action Network. But it was initially set up as a very coalitional process with Normal, Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, and a few other partners as an advisory board to get it off the ground. And we really got going in April 2002. She hired me and kind of launched the campaign to start to, first of all, do what we could to keep medical marijuana patients and providers out of prison, and to do an educational and media campaign with a direct action element. She and I both had worked together some in the global justice movement, sort of a civil disobedience orientation background. And so our analysis was that if we just did stuff in California, it wouldn't matter, because the Bush administration was all too happy to distance themselves from people in California. And what we needed was a national response all over the country, where local press is getting played about the attack on patients. And so the first thing that we did was a national day of action at DEA offices. We had 55 people around cities around the country presenting cease and desist orders to the DEA. This was the day before the OCBC ruling was scheduled to come down, saying if you attack another patient or provider, there will be a response. And from there, the next thing we did was set up an emergency response network of activists around the country who were prepared to do something the day after a raid and make some media and make some noise about it, as well as set up a number of set up media prepared to do an emergency teleconference call as soon as a raid happened, so that the next time a raid happened, it would be us controlling the story and telling our story instead of the police telling their story. We've built a number of ASA chapters. We also work with a number of existing organizations that had a grassroots element, as Students for Sensible Drug Policy and Normal both had chapters. And we ask people to join us in our campaign and join in on national days of action, proactive national days of action, as well as emergency response actions. Our first goals were, other than the overarching goal to create safe access, safe, legal access for every patient that needed access to medical cannabis, was to push back the DEA raids and to help organize more of the players, like the drug policy organizations in particular, to put more of an emphasis on this, to pay more attention, to put more resources into it, to kind of back up the initial process by following through and supporting and defending people who actually implemented those laws. And I'd say in both of those two regards, ASA, not by ourselves, but through the work of many of us, have been pretty successful in those first two. And certainly there's been a lot of changes that have happened through the legal system. But we think that those changes that have happened in the courts have been because of the political activism. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. These federal judges don't wake up in the middle of the night and just get, you know, a conscience all of a sudden. It's because people like all of us have been sitting in courtrooms, protesting outside, writing letters to the editor, getting some attention about what's going on, and showing the moral outrage, and also just telling our stories about how we experience being patients and the problems and the help that cannabis gives us. So it's a little bit of the background of what we've been doing. And our current campaigns are, first of all, we're very happy to have Joe working with us as a staff attorney. We also have a legal coordinator named Chris Hermes, who is more or less a paralegal with Joe. And because the federal raids have largely subsided, we started to focus more of our supportive efforts on state cases and on people who are implementing the law and having law enforcement trouble. So the one thing that we want to ask all of you is, if you have problems with law enforcement, or are arrested, or know patients that are having these problems, to let us know. We really can't take on every case, but we can advise their attorneys, advise public defenders, and sometimes take on key cases that we think will be important, as well as start to build a database of people if we want to do some combined suits, a mass return of property. Ideas is in the works, and Joe can tell you more about that. Perhaps a civil suit. So the more that we have all this information coming in, then we know more what the problems are. Joe and Steph have been doing a tour around the southern part of the state, and this is part of today's, with public defenders' offices, and to give them update, kind of updates he's going to give you tonight. And it's disturbing how few public defenders have any idea what's going on with medical marijuana law. And frankly, even how few patients know what their rights are and know what's going on with medical marijuana law. So that's one campaign. Another campaign is to move more towards setting up condition-based patients unions. Patient organizations that, unlike ASA chapters, aren't geographically based, but centered around the conditions that people use medical cannabis for. So we've been helping with the multiple sclerosis patients union, helping establish that. And it's mostly convened over a conference call and email, although it had the luck of being launched through the Cheryl Miller Memorial Project, which a lot of MS patients came to DC to commemorate Cheryl's life and to do lobbying. And so we've created some materials around that, and we're gathering information about what different patients unions people might want to be involved in. John Shaw, our ASA Burrville organizer, is getting started the AIDS Patients Union, and the Chronic Pain Patients Union is starting too. And we'd like to have others, but we need to identify leadership for those, because we can't facilitate all that out of our office. We're hoping people can facilitate that in different ways, with our participation rather than leadership. And so there's a couple of materials explaining that. This is just a general brochure on medical marijuana patients' unions, explaining that the purpose is not only to create a support network for patients and to do lobbying politically, protest politically, but also because we need some new partners on our side. We need the medical associations for all these different conditions to do much more advocacy. Some of them don't see cannabis as medicine, the MS Society, for example, yet, but I'm convinced they will soon. Others do, but they're just not in an active enough position of support. And when we're trying to get the law changed, we need to be sitting down with new and powerful partners to do that. And so the patients' unions, really the voices of patients to your own advocacy organizations, are going to be one of the most powerful ways to make that happen. We've also produced some condition-specific booklets for that. There's one here on cancer, HIV/AIDS, multiple sclerosis, and chronic pain. And we're doing one on irritable bowel syndrome and another one on age-related illnesses as a tool for those patients' unions, also as a just a, you know, some new materials for working with legislators and also for getting new more doctors in the mix and speak for people to speak to their doctors with. Also for people to explain to their families why they use it. And so we have these available. We're trying to do some big fundraising so we can do en masse. These are pretty expensive. They cost like $1.50 each to print. And so we can only do a limited run, but we're looking for ways to do a much larger dissemination. I also have the legal integrity manuals up here. You're free to take one. If you have $3 to donate for it, that's great, but don't not take it for that reason. And that's all I really want to talk about right now, but after these other presentations, if you have any questions about the campaign, ideas about how you can hook in, we can have a discussion about that.
Later.
And now, I give you.